Well, good morning. My name is Susan Brelsford, and our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Adoption. "You're adopted. Was a slur when I was a child said to your sibling that made them feel lesser. You're adopted. Did nobody ever tell you? Nobody ever tell you that actually you don't belong to this family? You're adopted." Adoption is taking on another child from their biological family and adopting them into your family. And maybe you have an adoption story yourself. Maybe somebody else in your family or extended family has an adoption story. Or maybe even a close friend or a work associate has an adoption story and is affected you. Adoption is one of the themes in our movie series today. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here, and we're in our fourth week of our series, At the Movies. And it's amazing how many different analogies, different metaphors we can get from watching even kids' movies to understand how we should follow Jesus and also how we can be the church better. Last week, we talked about a movie that called Up that was helping us understand that to follow Christ was an adventure. We followed Mr. Fredrickson and how his life was an adventure. This week, we're talking about the movie Despicable Me. Anybody ever seen it? Despicable Me? Oh, not bad. Not a bad response. If you haven't seen it, of course, pick up the kids, pick up the grandkids, download it, watch it with a cup of hot cocoa. You're going to love it. In this movie, amongst other things, it talks about adoption. The evil Gru is all about trying to conquer the world like most criminal megalomaniacs. He wants to steal the moon with his minions, and in order for him to do that, he has to steal the shrink ray. The shrink ray is housed in his comparable criminal Vector. And Vector has a house with this shrink ray in it. This is the minions here. Gru is the one in the middle with the big nose. And the girls are the girls that he ends up adopting here. Agnes is the little one. And she's the one that kind of changes Gru's heart. So Gru has been trying to get this shrink ray so that he can shrink the moon. And it's at Vector's house. And Vector has got all these missiles and defense systems to stop anybody coming to steal the shrink ray. And he tries so hard to get the shrink ray, and he can't get it. He tries and tries and tries. One day, He's standing outside of the house and covered in dust from his recent explosion, and he sees three young girls. These three young girls, adopted girls from the orphanage, not adopted yet, they're from the orphanage, and they walk up to the house with what? None other than the power of Girl Scout cookies. Do you need Girl Scout cookies? Yes, I do. Have you got the lemon ones? Well, come on in. And he watches, absolutely marveled, as these three girls just melancholy walk through the front door of this guy's house. And he says, light bulb. He has an idea that if he adopts these three girls, he can use them to get into Vector's house as a distraction so that he could get the shrink ray. So he goes to the girls adopted at Miss Hattie's orphanage. And at the orphanage, he convinces Miss Hattie that he would be the perfect parent for these three little young girls. He woos her and says to her how wonderful she looks, and the three girls are now under his adoption. Goes to the house, uses them to distract Vector and steal the shrink ray from the house. And he's on the way back home, and he's so excited that he's accomplished his mission with these three young girls, and now he's thinking about how he can get rid of them. And he sees the fair in the background, and he imagines that if he drops them at the fair, they'll just disappear. He gets to the fair, and there's one of those stalls. You ever been to the fair, and there's a stall, and there's one of those things you have to shoot the thing, and if you shoot the thing, you get the toy, you get the prize. You ever done that? And you shoot the thing, and the thing goes over, you're still going to get the prize. That's exactly what happened to Gru and these three girls at the fair. And like any respectable father, with any kind of gumption in himself, he's absolutely disgusted that little sweet little Agnes has hit the UFO thing that's gone over the top and it hasn't fell down. He says, let me try. Gives the guy the money, pulls out his great big gun with all the missiles around it, pew, blows the stall out the way. She says, I want the unicorn. I want the unicorn. And he gives the unicorn to Agnes. And the girls are like just so amazed. Oh, wow, you're so good. And the scene ends with Agnes walking away with the toy, with the unicorn, the pink unicorn, going, it's so fluffy. And there's a change in Gru. There's a change in Gru. And you can almost see it in the movie, moving from his head to his heart. He realized that these girls that he's adopted for his evil plan are actually changing his heart. There's a change from his head to his heart. Now, the scripture you read today, it sounds a little familiar. It feels a little like Christmas. It's Christmas in July, you know that? Christmas in July, but you got to bear with me as to this amazing adoption story that happens because of one man, Joseph. Joseph is a law-abiding Jew. He's going about in his normal Jewish life, and he's betrothed to Mary. And the scripture that was read to you is from Matthew 1. You can follow along. There's some places we're going to go back to. And so you might want to follow that. Open your phone if you've got it on your phone. If you've got it in a Bible in front of you, we can open that too. Matthew chapter 1 is where we read and where we pick up the scripture. And this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now, I want you to look at this scripture. Try. I know it's very familiar. I want you to look at it like you're looking for the word Joseph. And how many times does Joseph get mentioned? You know the story. The woman is betrothed to Joseph. He's betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothal or engagement is different in first century ancient Near East than it is today. It's not this willy-nilly thing where it's like, well, I'm not feeling like I'm engaged to you today, so it's all off. I've had it happen via text message to people. It's off. Sorry, we're not going. No, if you were betrothed in the first century, if you were betrothed to a woman or the woman was betrothed to the man, the only way that this way could be separated is through death. Basically, Mary's mother and father were his de facto mother-in-law and father-in-law. So, like I say to lots of marrying couples, to those who I'm counseling, you best get to know them real quick. So he's betrothed. He's engaged to this woman. She's betrothed to him. And like a good Jew, he was preparing his father's house so that there was a room for Mary in his father's house. Because in his father's house, there are many rooms. And he was going to prepare one there for Mary. And he was getting ready for that. And all of a sudden, he hears that this woman is pregnant. She's pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, as I said, is a law-abiding Jew. He knew the Tanakh. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the 613 rules that go with being a Jew. And he knew that if the woman that was betrothed to him actually had relations with another man or became pregnant, then there were some things he had to do. He had to let her go publicly shame her in the street, have her outed, have her canceled for like annulling this marriage. It was her fault. And let everybody know what she'd done. Or he could do it quietly. He could do this quietly if he wanted to. It says, Joseph was a righteous man and didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he scheduled to break the engagement quietly. He knew there was a Mishnah. He knew that what the rabbis taught, and he knew that there was a Mishnah that said that you could do it quietly with two people or more, just two witnesses. An ancient rabbinic Mishnah called Soto, and those verses 1 and 3 there, it says that you can divorce her quietly, and she could be witnessed by two people. So that's where we are. Joseph mentioned once so far. So as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Well, first of all, who's Joseph? I'm just going to mention him again here. Who the heck is this guy? Like, where does he come from? And why is he so important in this story? Now, if you read back in the first part of Matthew, you see that the list of descendants of where Joseph came from. And I'm going to read every one of them to you now. Just kidding. Judy got it. Judy got it. Here we go. This is just verse 15. This is his grandparents. Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary gave birth to Jesus, who was called the Messiah. Joseph was in the lineage of Abraham and David. This is a big deal, people. This is a big deal if you're included in the lineage from Abraham and King David. Joseph was in this line. Joseph was concerned about the woman that he was going to marry because he wanted this lineage to keep going all the way to the Messiah. If you were going to be in this family, you were going to try and pick the right woman. You were going to betroth yourself to the woman that was going to bear the king. And then all of a sudden, she gets pregnant. Joseph was real concerned. So as he was considering this, as he lay on his bed at night, as he lay on his bed, worried, concerned, had visions and dreams and concerns, like thinking about the rabbis like canceling her in the middle of the street, thinking about people stoning her and saying, you ruined the line, you ruined the messianic line. As he thought about this, it says, An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him, for he will save the people from their sins. This is a pivotal moment in the scriptures. This is a pivotal moment in the entire narrative of the Bible. What should Joseph do? What is it that he should do with this theophany, with this vision, with this dream that he's had? How should he respond? He has a choice. A major expression of who we are, who our Wesleyan theology is that Joseph has a choice. He can tell the rabbis, he's quite within his legal right to say, this woman is, she's no good. He can have it outed and cancel it in the middle of the street. Or he can go to the rabbis. Hey, you know that thing you wrote about two witnesses? That's kind of what I want to do. Or he could marry Mary and adopt the baby that was inside her and call him Jesus. What does he decide to do with this theophany? What does he decide to do with this great vision? Does he take him on? And Joseph knew the Old Testament. Joseph knew all of the writings of the Old Testament, all of the law, all of the Mishnahs, clearly. He knew what the scriptures said that this Messiah would come. He knew the scripture that's embedded here in Matthew. He knew this. He says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And that's from Isaiah chapter 7. Joseph knew this text. Joseph knew this really well. And you can imagine waking up from the dream going, wait a minute. Mary, my betrothed, my wife-to-be, is the virgin. Wait a minute. We're going to call him Emmanuel, and that's my responsibility? It's up to me to decide whether this child is adopted or not. He's going to be brought into the lineage of David and Abraham. Later, this guy Joseph, he has another dream and another theophany, another vision. And he because he adopted Jesus, he takes him into another country because the dream says, get out of there because there's going to be a genocide and the king is going to be so mad that he can't see Jesus. He's going to kill all the young ones, kill all the innocents. And there are other adopted people in our Bible too, whom also, because they're adopted, they deliver people from a genocide. Queen Esther was set aside for such a time as this. She was the woman who made a decision so that the Jews could not suffer under this evil Haman. And of course, Moses was adopted out of the Nile, taken out of the reeds, and adopted by royalty so that he could grow up and know what it meant to be under the Pharaoh. And there's other stories of adoption too that give God glory. What's your story? What's your story of adoption that impacted your heart? It started here and then creeped down into your heart. Maybe it's not your story. Maybe it's the story of a relative. Maybe it's a story of a distant relative. Maybe it's a friend that's so dear to you that finally you know her story and that's impacting you. Adoption has become very real to me over the last 4 years as my half-sister that I found out I had was also adopted. Recently, a friend of mine, last year in fact, adopted a young child, and she graciously shared with me some of her story. She shared with me some of the things that are going on in her life, and I'm going to read that to you. But statistics for adoption says that 6 out of 10 people in America, that's 60% of people in America, have experiences with adoption. That's according to the Adoption Network. Americans, that's you, your family, and someone else, know this well, and 1.5 million children have been adopted. 1 in 50 in the United States. That's 144,000 are adopted each and every year. As of 2015, and this is from the Adoption Network, 107,918 are awaiting to be adopted right now. They either wanted to be adopted or eligible for adoption. In Florida alone, there are 750 children waiting to be adopted. Like I said, this has become very real to me this year and in the last 4 years. I want to share with you my friend who shared a very raw experience of what she had this last year, and she wants me to keep her name aside. We'll call her Jane for today. But she's married. Jane is married with one biological child, and she's not too far from us here. Here's some of her story. My husband and I chose to pursue private domestic infant adoption. We wanted to adopt and felt led to adopt, not having any clue the magnitude of the impact it would have on us. And as we started out on our journey, our mental framework of what we believed adoption was going to be to our nuclear family is just about as opposite as what actually happened. They used wise counsel and chose a reputable adoption agency in the area, and they started to pursue all the information they needed on us in order to match us with the birth mother. She says the matching process felt a little bit like online dating. An expectant mother would come to the agency and their information would be taken down. Then they would submit their profile to all of the hopeful adoptive parents, HAPs, H-A-P, hopeful adoptive parents. And if the HAPs felt like they wanted to pursue the expectant mother, we essentially swiped right and gave our profile to them. The expectant mother was given 8 profiles at a time to look through and see if any of them felt right. We went through 8 rounds of offering our profile and being denied. 8 rounds. After 9 months, she says, which you know how long 9 months is for, after 9 months, she finally met the mother that was they were going to adopt. She said she went to the sonogram appointment, went to the birth, and when she seen the child, she realized the child was perfect, and she was thankful. She said, I learned more in those 24 hours than any college degree or book would ever be able to teach me about selfless love, about true sacrifice, about what it took our expectant mother to say yes to the journey of adoption. I was able to tell her when she got picked up in the driveway of the hospital is that she had changed my life. She said she's learning that adoption has very little to do with the receiver of the gift. It's all about the giver. Yes, she says, we're going to have conversations with our son in the future about the spirit of adoption. And yes, it's messy and a lot of people exploit the adoption world. And yes, evil is very much a part of any human-made system. But for us, we are grateful. We are grateful for the gift, grateful for the giver. We know she, the adopted mother, forever changed our lives. This adoption changed my friend's life. This adoption changed the girls in the movie. It changed their life. And towards the end of the movie, at first he's so grumpy, and he puts the girls in like cut-out bombs for beds, and he just treats them like nothing, and he doesn't want anything to do with them. They're begging him for a story, and he doesn't want to do the story. And as the end of the movie comes to a close, he writes his own book about how they've impacted him. He even puts his nose through the book, and he's goofing around. And finally, he kisses them goodnight. All the way through the movie, he didn't want to kiss them and be connected to them. And finally, he kisses them goodnight. And The power of their lives affected his life. The power of taking on these three children affected him. The power of the one child that was born to my friend Jane has transformed her life even more so. Jesus transformed Joseph's life. And Joseph got to adopt Jesus into the royal lineage. Joseph got to adopt him into it. And it says when Joseph woke up, just from his sleep, just from all the voices going around his head of what he should and should not do, when he woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Didn't have sexual relations with her until the end when the son was born, and Joseph named him. By Joseph adopting him and calling him Jesus, it legally said, "You are now my son." Joseph is mentioned 6 times in this scripture alone and 2 more times in the next chapter, and that's it. We don't hear about him ever again. Who was that guy? And yet, because of this person's actions, because of him listening to who God was, because of him listening to his dreams, because of him listening to the visions that he had, he adopted Jesus into the world, and it transformed the entire world. He was adopted into the lineage of David, fulfilling all the prophecies, fulfilling all the writings, fulfilling everything that was written in your Old Testament. And it totally changed the world. And Jesus changes your world, amen? Jesus can totally transform your understanding of what adoption is. Joseph totally changed his head into his heart, and he acted on his heart, and it changed the complete landscape of Judaism, of changed the complete landscape of what it was to adopt children. As you know, at Palm Harbor, we have one of our values is to have a continuous focus on the future, and you continue to have that. You are already one of the greatest supporters of the children's home, which we just watched a video on. We already support Live Out Loud, which is a network of supporting foster homes in the area. There is so many children under the age of 18 who don't have parents and fathers. We get to adopt children. We get to bring them in here. Some of you have adopted. Some of you are called to adopt. Some of you have already listened to what God is, and there's going to be adoption stories around. By the way, if you have an adoption story, don't hesitate to share it with me via email if you wish. The one that was shared with me was very therapeutic for Jane, and just to get it down on paper, if you have one, I would love to hear it. But there are many out there who would love an adoption story. There are many out there who would love to be adopted into a family that cares, into a family that wants to be caring for them. And maybe you are adopted into a family. Maybe the slur doesn't work for you. Maybe the slur is the sound of joy that somebody would care for you or your friend or your family. Because of Joseph's actions, we can be sure that we have been adopted. Paul wrote to Galatians. The Apostle Paul, who was responsible for communicating the gospel, he wrote to the church in Galatia as well. And he wrote this scripture, and he wrote these words to the people of Galatia, and it's based on Joseph's actions. I'm going to read them to you. We're going to put them on the screen for you as well. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, "But when the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could what? Adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so we can cry out and we can call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer slaves. You are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Amen. You are heirs of the royal kingdom. You are adopted into this royal family. This is the greatest family that you will ever be a part of, because you are now also in the lineage of Abraham and David and Joseph. Because he adopted Jesus, you are included in this family too. Amen. You are children of God. You're adopted. It's not a slur. It's a joy to be adopted into this family, into the greatest family you will ever be part of. Because of Jesus, you are adopted into the royal family of God. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are adopted. We are thankful for adoption stories that are successful, that give you glory. We're thankful, Lord, that some of us are called to adopt and foster children and to all of those, just even locally in Pinellas County, Lord, we ask that you would show us who they are that we can impact. We pray, Lord God, for those who are in need and would love a royal family to be adopted into. And we ask, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, to those who we can communicate your love to. We pray, Lord God, that we would love on people so much that they would know too that they are adopted into this royal family. God, we give you glory today for the joy of this message. We give you glory today for how you have worked in our lives. We pray, Lord God, that we would be vessels of this love to those who don't know this too. We ask this all in the powerful and adopted name of Jesus. Everybody said, Amen.